Patriots, and welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and we are listening tonight to an interview with Thomas Renz.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening. And tonight we have an amazing interview. Somebody that isn't well known, but has just launched a lethal blow, we hope, to the cabal. And this is kind of exciting. This is why I was glad to bring it to you. I got a call. Actually, it started, I believe, yesterday morning with a text from Dr. Eric Napudi, who is also one of the huge supporters of Bard's Vest. And he let me know that they had filed a big lawsuit. And I didn't know many details. And then I was contacted yesterday afternoon by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny that asked if I wanted to bring this breaking news. And of course, the answer is yes. And so tonight we're going to hear from attorney Thomas Renz, who is now going to be, I think, our new, another Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. He's fearless, and he's put together a TRO, how do I want to say this? He's filed a legal case to impose a TRO, a temporary restraining order, on giving any injections to children 16 and younger. But this case is just the beginning of a series of actions that they have lined up to start bringing lethal action against the people complicit in this bioweapon distribution. So this is a great story. It's very uplifting, and I wanted to make sure everybody had it. Now, before we get started tonight, we have two things. Obviously, we have a prayer to do before we start, but I also want to remind you that we are also mobilizing every patriot to get a pair of My Slippers, every patriot. We want to have a My Slipper revolution, because what we're getting ready for in Bard's Fest, and we have big news to start talking about next week on Bard's Fest, so you're going to have an exciting week. But Bard's Fest, August 26th to August 29th, we're going to get Mike Lindell there. I promise you we're going to get Mike Lindell there. I don't know how. We've got it confirmed yet, but I think we'll get him there. But here's the deal. We are going to celebrate his company. He's an example and model company of what we want in America, a CEO that loves Christ, gives credit to Christ for his success, is open about who he is, gives, and is fighting like crazy for this nation, fighting like crazy to protect the integrity of the vote, and at the same time getting waylaid by the cabal. And yet he still fights. So he's not going to have to fight alone here. They took $64 million away from him in sales, $64 million, and he's still in there swinging. And he's starting his own TV station. He's got his own social media platform. So our goal by August of 2021, by Bard's Fest, is we want to see 1 million unit sales of My Slippers. And we want every patriot around the country and at Bard's Fest wearing My Slippers. It's the slipper revolution. Now, that's $69 million in sales that we can generate with something we all love and we all can use. They're great. We love, and we love his company. We can help his company boost it up, and then when we celebrate the victory and shove it down the throat of the deep state to show them what happens when you mess with one of our Christian-loving, God-loving, Christ-loving CEOs, and we're going to show them what we do, then we're going to announce the 7 companies at Bard's Fest that we are going to boycott and destroy. 7 companies that turned their back on to try to destroy MyPillow. 7 companies of the seven companies that will have vax policies, and 7 of those 7 companies will have been aligned up with the Georgia vote to keep Georgia from changing its elections and credibility. We have a war to wage, and we're going to wage this as we can with using our dollars in powerful ways, supporting 1, destroying 7. I think you get that, don't you? Kind of get that connection? 1-7, 1-7, 1-7. Yeah. Hope so. If you missed that one, you need to go back to sleep. I'm telling you right now. All right, Patriots. So let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us together as we do in this amazing space of technology where we can bridge space and time. We can bring together all of us Patriots to share your wisdom, to share the stories of Patriots out here fighting for your love, fighting for the victory for the people, protecting your children, and in the end, crushing the cabal. Lord, lead us, guide us, protect us, give us that strength to stand in the face of the devil himself, to throat stomp him and crush evil out of this world. We say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots, this is a great, I think you're going to enjoy this interview. He's just such a humble man doing such a noble fight. So please let me introduce you to Attorney Thomas Renz. So today I'm very proud to and very excited to have Attorney Thomas Renz here to talk to us. There is a very big developments in this fight against this scamdemic that we're dealing with. And Thomas Renz is leading the fight and leading the charge for the sake of the people. As an attorney new to a lot of this fight for the Patriots, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And welcome to the show.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I guess for the people that don't know me, I can pretty much sum up who I am in one word: nobody. I'm just a regular guy. I'm a solo practitioner living in a little town in Ohio. And I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm an American, I'm God, family, country guy. And when all this COVID stuff started going down, I said, well, this is not acceptable. And so I've been fighting it ever since. And you know, since then, a lot of people have heard about me fighting it, but I think that's less a matter of me being special and more a matter of just no one else had the courage to do it. So here we are.
Thomas, tell us a little bit about what has just been filed. We are dealing with a very, it's an incredible time to where we're seeing such overreach of power based on an injection that is, by many doctors, doesn't even qualify as a vaccine, and it's not even approved yet. It's still an experimental phase, and yet we're seeing almost an extortion, not only of fear, but of the power that these corporations and the government has over people to force them to take this.
Yeah, this is really amazing. And I think I should premise it with this, going, you know, probably your last question. So I started this fight working with a group called Ohio Stands Up. I still work with them. And then I started working with another group, Make Americans Free Again. I'm still working with them as well. And then recently I started working with another group, America's Frontline Doctors. And they are the ones that brought this suit. Prior to this, my other work in COVID, which is still ongoing in a bunch of states, has been based on the fact that this really is not, they've been lying to us. They lied about the number of dead. They lied about PCR testing. They lied about everything you can imagine, right? And we've got that laid out in a lot of suits in a lot of different ways. And there's really no question about it being true. So we fast forward, and you've got this manufactured crisis. And by the way, my father-in-law, who I was very close with and I loved dearly, passed from this. He did die from COVID. So I know it's a disease, and I know that it's killed people, and I do take it serious. That said, it's not killed anywhere near the number that they've said. It has not come even close to that. It also is, you know, the pandemic has been based on PCR tests, which don't work. We know they don't work because their instruction manuals include disclaimers that say that these can't be used to diagnose COVID-19. So when you hear that you're a case based on a PCR test, just know that that PCR test probably had a disclaimer that said this test can't diagnose COVID-19. Fast forward, and you've got a manufactured emergency, and now you have a manufactured solution to the emergency, right? And the emergency was created by the same people that also created the solution. So you've got a virus that was also potentially manufactured in a lab. And by the way, that lab wasn't just in Wuhan. It looks, and we don't have, we can't prove this yet, but it looks like a good portion of the gain of function research done on this virus was done in North Carolina at a university. So, and done in conjunction with the Wuhan lab. So we've got that. And we have, you know, manufactured virus, manufactured crisis, and we have the people who funded the virus creation, Dr. Fauci and his crew, the people who promoted the crisis, Dr. Fauci and his crew, are now the people who are approving the supposed cure for this crisis, the quote-unquote vaccine. Those people are now in position to make more money than we know what to do with off this vaccine. Now, we have laid out in our case, we put out a conflicts of interest document. And one of the first things you'll see is that Fauci's Institute owns about half the intellectual property rights, according to their contract, which we have, on the Moderna patent, a company that is now worth about, I believe last I checked, around $25 billion that doesn't have a single approved drug on the market. But they've got a COVID vaccine, right? So what's happened is this is just the next evolutionary step in this process. These people have created a crisis, and now they're trying to profit off of the crisis that they created. And so what we're doing is we're saying in this case, you know, listen, maybe before we start giving everybody this injection, we should test it out and make sure it's safe, especially kids. You know, I mean, we have statistically, this is based on CDC statistics, which we know they have inflated them beyond words. Based on CDC statistics, children are at zero statistical risk of, from COVID. Zero, right? The law says that if you want to experiment on a kid or give a kid a drug, there has to be a balancing test. You have to balance the risk of experimenting or giving the kid a drug with the risk of whatever that drug's going to treat. Well, if there's zero statistical risk from COVID, how can you possibly state that an untested, unproven drug is going to meet that balancing test? And the answer is you can't. And that's what this TRO is about.
So can you explain what a TRO is by name and then what its potential effect will be both in the short and the long term?
Okay, so a TRO is it's a legal thing, right? And where you usually hear about it, it's a temporary restraining order. And a lot of times people hear that and they think about domestic violence situations or things like that. But what happens is when you have something going on where someone could be subject to immediate and irreparable harm, and that's legal stuff, you know, that's how they say it legally, immediate and irreparable harm, which means it's going to happen immediately. And, you know, if it does happen, it can't be fixed. You can ask the court to say, hey, put a stop on this for a period of time until we can figure out what's going on. And that is precisely what's going on here. We said to the court, listen, we're going to bring a full case. We want this tried before the court fully to talk about these EUAs and these vaccines and these conflicts that we're alleging, right? But in the meantime, we can't let them do these injections on kids. You know, these kids have been fine up till now. Why do we need to expand it to 12 to 15-year-olds? And by the way, they've already announced they're going to try and expand it to even younger. We can't have that. There's no basis for this under the law. We need to maintain the status quo. We need to say, you know, no children under 16 can get this because there's no reason for them to get this. We're experimenting on children without any reason to. And, you know, I would draw a parallel between this and what the Nazis did. The Nazis experimented on people without informed consent, which, by the way, that's a big part of what's happening. And for any of you that have gotten the vaccine, And I hope that you're okay. And I hope if you've gotten it and there was no side effects, I mean, certainly everybody's not going to have a side effect. But if you got it, I ask you this. Did they sit you down? Did they say, listen, first thing you got to know is this drug is not approved. It's only been giving emergency use authorization. That means that we have not fully tested it. And we don't know what will happen when you get it. Right now, we expect the following risks, and they could list all the things from blood clots to anaphylaxis to death to this to that. We don't know for sure the benefits, but right now, under the EUA, we know that this may reduce the symptoms of COVID-19. We don't know that it's actually going to stop transmission because the EUA doesn't say that, and it hasn't been shown to stop transmission. So you could still get COVID. And if you do, it may not actually do anything. But it may lessen the symptoms. That's what they should have said. They probably should have said a few other things as well. If they didn't say that to you, that means you didn't get informed consent. And, you know, going back to World War II, the Nazis didn't give informed consent when they were testing vaccines on their prisoners. Fast forward to Tuskegee in America, in the United States. We tested drugs on African-American males without giving them informed consent, without telling them what's going on, without doing anything. We let them get sick. We let them die. And we just watch it. One of the most horrible things ever. Fast forward, you know, we had got caught on Guatemala or on Tuskegee. The Nazis had gotten caught, you know, in World War II. Well, our esteemed medical professionals, bureaucrats in Washington, and decided they wanted to do some more experiments. So they went to Guatemala. I guess that was another disposable group of people, right? So we had the Guatemala experiments. So we've been experimenting for years on people and killing them. And, you know, this is just the newest form of that. And it's sick beyond words. It's horrendous. There's no informed consent. And because there's no informed consent, it makes this whole thing much, much, much worse. If you were consenting to this and truly understood that this was an experimental drug and that they are experimenting on you, that would be one thing. It's another thing entirely that they aren't even telling you that. And in fact, that they're actively covering up that it's experimental by telling you it's safe and effective.
This brings in so many layers of liability. And this case that you are introducing is a civil case, if I'm not mistaken. How does this then apply to something like Nuremberg trials? And that was ultimately where a lot of this was held accountable, was Nuremberg trials with the Nazis. What you just mapped out is this seems to be heading in a direction ultimately with this level of deceit, that there is an accountability at a criminal level as well, not just a civil level. Is that fair?
I mean, I certainly think that there should be criminal accountability here. I absolutely do. Now, as an attorney, you know, I don't work for the government. I'm not a prosecutor. I can't prosecute this. If I were a prosecutor or an attorney general, I can tell you there'd be people in court long ago. But yeah, this absolutely should see criminal charges. Now, whether or not that happens, I have no control, but I strongly advocate for it. And I hope that as our elected officials become aware of how much they've been lied to, that they and how much American people have been lied to, that they, you know, they step up. And this shouldn't be a Democrat or Republican issue. This should be an American people issue. If there's ever been something that our elected officials should get rid of the partisan crap on, it's this. Because this is killing everybody. And if you're a Democrat and you're not willing to look at this, shame on you. Shame on you, because they are really targeting these minority communities that you claim to be representing and claim to be fighting for. And it is absolutely abhorrent what's happening. So, yeah, I hope to God there's criminal liability on this.
What's the outcome that you're seeking in a case like this? Is it a financial? If it is, I would assume when you're dealing with a $25 billion valued company, that has to be pretty substantial to make it any impact. Or is this more of a policy change to implement this TRO so it's a permanent restraining order? What's your end goal here?
Well, it's kind of a funny question because I keep, there's a couple of scumbags in the press that keep lying, saying I'm doing this because I'm making all sorts of money. And that is laughable. There's no money in this. And in fact, the strategy has been quite the opposite. So when we started this, you know, we said we've got to free our people. We got to fight these lockdowns and things like that. And we said, you know, there's all sorts of cases that we could be filing for huge amounts of money. You know, I could win enough money on this to buy Epstein's Island and then have it exercised and then enjoy my life in the tropics. We've got some small money damage suits out there. But what we decided was, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. And the first thing we needed was freedom. So we've been fighting for that. Now that this is happening with these experimental injections, we've kind of shifted gears because now the top priority is saving lives. If we get to, at some point, we want to have accountability and hold these people accountable, and there'll be all sorts of money in it at that point, I think. And if I end up making all sorts of money off it, great. If I don't, I don't care. As long as I can feed my family and take care of my life and, you know, fund my fight, I gotta do those things. But as long as that's happening, whatever. What matters is saving lives and protecting people. That's what we're in it for. That's what we're doing. And so all of our case strategy starts out there. And we've included a damages charge in this because we believe that's correct. I don't expect it to be anything massive because we're actually suing the federal government. We aren't even listing any of the manufacturers or anything on this. Our primary relief is going to be injunctive, although we do believe that money damages are warranted. And, you know, we'll see what happens with it, but it's really right now, the priority is saving lives and educating people and letting people know what's going on. So that's where we started.
So the challenge in dealing with these pharmaceutical companies is that they have indemnity from legal persecution or prosecution. What's that look like as we go forward here? Because they're the ones creating this nightmare at the end, and they're doing so. There has to be an understanding and a willful intent somewhere in there if you're doing this, and someone can't claim like they've just tried to claim with Johnson & Johnson in testimony before the House subcommittee that it was the vaccine, quote unquote, was corrupted because of dirty work environment. This is far more than just a pollutants from a work environment. There's an intentional design in much of this to cause harm to people and to experiment with something called mRNA and other components in there. So how do you foresee this fight going forward in being able to get to those that created this entire project?
It's funny, I'm going to tell you, there's certainly a dirty work environment, but I think that dirty work environment is sitting in DHHS. You know, Fauci and his crew, they own these intellectual property rights. They're making money. I don't think it's a stretch when you follow the money to say, okay, look at what's happening here. Look at the conflicts of interest. And was this done with malice? Absolutely, this was done with malice. There is no question in my mind, and I will have that in front of a jury at some point. First, we got to stop people from being injected with the stuff that's going to kill them. And then we'll see what we can do on that, because then we'll hit them where it hurts in the pocketbook. I definitely think that there is a way through this. There's some other really creative litigation strategies that we have and that the rest of my team has came up with. And we're going to hit them from a number of angles on that. But you can be assured it's coming.
In this particular case, it's a TRO, but it doesn't classify yet as a class action. Can you define a little bit about the differences in something like this versus a class action?
Yeah, so a lot of people have asked me, you know, hey, can you file this as a huge class action this and a huge class action that? And, you know, the thing about that is people generally don't understand what that means. Okay, so class action is something that you may want to do on a money case. If you've got a lot of people who've been injured and you want to recover a lot of money for them. This case is about making sure that the Department of Health and Human Services is doing their job free and clear of conflicts and actually protecting the public like they're supposed to be, right? a class action for a case like this would have been more of a distraction and a procedural hurdle than a help. You know, we've got a good representative group of people who've been injured by this. And had we tried to do this as a class action, it would have taken a lot longer and wouldn't have really done anything other than give the other side an opportunity to object and slow things down. This really has to be about getting safety, getting people healthy, stuff like that. And so we needed to make sure that it was done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And so class action wasn't the right tool, you know, but we'll get to that because there's been a lot of people hurt by this, but that's a different type of a case.
Your efforts here as a small attorney office going up against the giants that you are reminds me a great deal of the story of Erin Brockovich and her fight against PG&E in California in 1993. Can you put that a little bit in context with what you're facing now and the challenges you have ahead?
Well, I mean, it's quite an honor to be to mention my work with hers. And, you know, I think it was, I don't know all the details of her work, but I know it's quite legendary in the way that she fought against the monsters. And I can only imagine what she must have felt like on this. You know, I'm fighting against an awful lot. And yeah, when I started, I just had one other attorney with me. And a friend that I've made, he's become a great friend of mine. And, you know, it's been tough. You know, you get the thanks that you get is primarily beat up in the press and, you know, told you don't have a chance, told that there's no hope. And, you know, basically what I've done is I've just put my faith in God. And I ask him every day what you think I ought to be doing, and I try and do it. And I fail more often than not. I'm not all that great of a person, but that's what I try and do. And I don't know how else to do this. I mean, I firmly believe it's the right thing to do. I'm too dumb to realize how overwhelming the odds are. And the only thing I know how to do is to fight. I mean, I can't, in good conscience, sit on my hands, watch our freedoms be destroyed, and then watch them start experimenting and killing kids and families and babies. And I mean, I don't know what else I can do other than to fight.
It's being a patriot, and we're grateful for what you're doing. It's such a breath of fresh air to hear somebody in the legal realm taking the risks that you're taking and fighting for the people. We have so many attorneys who have just put their head in the sand like the doctors in our medical communities and just turn their back on what is truly the true fight before us. One of the big things that's on patriots' minds right now, not only the lockdowns, but I live in Oregon, so now we have a out-of-control state legislature and a governor who have decided that COVID passes are going to be mandated for people to enter into businesses. That's on par with Nazism and the Jewish Star. What are your thoughts on this sort of fight ahead and what perhaps even your case currently could have in positive repercussions for the sake of people and freedom in this nation?
First of all, God bless the people of Oregon. I'm so sorry for you people. I mean, the stuff I'm hearing coming out of Oregon is the stuff of nightmares. I have no idea. I don't even know what to say about it other than God bless you. And also P.S., there is this law, this HIPAA law that says, you don't have to disclose private medical information. Someone might want to mention that to your governor. But that aside, you know, the goal here is on with this case is several fold. I mean, honestly, the first is save lives. You know, we want to stop this nonsense. We want to make sure that kids are safe. I mean, it's already illegal for any government entity to enforce a vaccine. I mean, that's pretty clear under the law, which is why the federal government is enforcing this. Biden recognizes he doesn't have a chance in hell on that. So, you know, we want to make sure that that's clarified and reinforced and that, you know, people aren't doing it. But we also, in filing this, my hope, everybody says, what can I do to help? Well, let me tell you what you can do to help. I want every single person in the world to see this case. I know it's long and painful to read, but the truth that is in there needs to be shared everywhere. It is absolutely critical that everyone hear this. So raising awareness and helping people know what's going on is really an important aspect of this case. We've been censored. The media is clearly censoring us. There's no question about that. So we need to make sure that the people hear this, because they're not going to hear it in the media. That's the second goal. We also want our elected officials to hear about this. They've been lied to. They've just been lied to nonstop for I don't know how long. And we've got to make sure that they hear the truth. It's just if they don't take a stand, it's just going to be a lot harder to stop this exclusively through the courts. So, we're kind of hitting it from a few different angles and hoping very sincerely that that we can, very successfully and succinctly convince a lot of people of what's going on and get everybody free again.
I will tell you, it's hard for patriots, and even it's hard for me, to step back and just accept that politicians were just ill-informed. There's a part of this that is so much common sense that is lacking, that it really puts in question the intellectual capacity or ability to reason, which is fundamental in our Constitution, fundamental in every paper of the Federalist Papers, that our this whole process we have in governance is based on reason, not passion, as our framers would say. It is difficult for me to imagine that there can be just a lack of knowledge when the magnitude of what we are dealing with here is injecting an agenda that seeks to inject the entire nation with a substance that's not even authorized. And we've even looked at we have the Defense Department involved in this. This has a sense of an agenda that is so deep that it's frightening to imagine that level of corruption or complicity in this. Any comments on that?
So, I don't think that everybody's ignorant of this. I think that this is, something that I'm certain there's people that are well aware of. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And, I get it. I hear everybody listening right now that's saying, don't be naive. Yeah, I know. And I've been around way more politics than I want to. So I get that too. I don't know who knows the truth and who doesn't. What I do know is that the lies put together by this were very clever. And I will tell you that there are some very smart people who have bought into this hook, line, and sinker from the beginning. And it's got to be very difficult for a politician who's been just absolutely bought into this from the beginning to come out and say, you know what? I really goofed. These people have been lying. They are monsters. And I'm sorry. And I think that I personally think that we patriots, we really, really, really need to listen for the politicians that have the courage to come out and do that. And we need to give them an opportunity to do that. I don't think there's any benefit to backing someone in the corner and making it impossible for them to admit that they made a mistake. So that's the reason I try and give the benefit of the doubt. Now, that said, there is a huge difference between the elected officials, who I may be willing in some cases to give the benefit of the doubt to, not all cases, but some, and the bureaucrats who are unelected, who we don't have any control over, that shouldn't even be there. I think this administrative state we live in is the most unconstitutional thing ever. But we have all of these people, these Faucis, who claim to be the smartest guy in the room, who knows darn well that he's funded this gain of function stuff. He knows what he's funded. You can't miss it. I've got a paper trail on it. So, these guys, there's no benefit of the doubt there. These are the guys who need to be sued. They need to be in jail. They need to be, there's a lot of things that need to happen there. And it's my hope that we'll be able to show that in the courts and to prove that, and that we'll be able to really successfully bring justice here.
Can you explain a little bit about that term gain of function? We hear it a lot, but it'd be really good to have you explain that a bit from a legal perspective.
Yeah, well, so here's gain of function. You got a virus, right? I want to make it more dangerous. So I do experiments on how to make the virus more dangerous. That's gain of function. And any sane person on the planet would say, well, that seems like a terrible idea. Well, remember, we said any sane person. The response that you get from these people, I use that term loosely, that are proponents of it is, well, this will allow us to prepare for the worst case scenario. Well, I think that's garbage. You know, I think that's absolute trash. Gain of function research is inherently dangerous because you're making a disease or a virus more dangerous. You're making something more dangerous. What happens if it escapes? Wuhan, anybody? What happens if it gets to the population? So, you know, generally, gain of function research has, for you know, a lot of periods of time, it's gone back and forth in terms of its legality. But in terms of its ethics, I don't think there's any question that it's unethical, at least in my opinion. But, you know, so Fauci has given a bunch of money to some different people to study gain-of-function research. I mean, we got it in North Carolina. We've got it, you know, that money has gone over to Wuhan. I mean, we've got the grants. It's not hard to see, you know, and they don't say, hey, this is gain of function research. We want to make this super dangerous. You know, they polish it up with different words, but there's no question what it is. So yeah, they basically, it looks like COVID-19. It looks like that was, you know, created in the lab, and that was created in the lab and was subject to gain of function research. You know, someone took a disease, made it more dangerous, and then oops, it got loose. And now look what we have. So that's what they're talking about with that.
Let's talk about the media in all of this. And you mentioned it early on, which is the way that you're disparaged in the media, the sorts of comments made in the media. They're also complicit in pushing this narrative that everything is safe. And it seems to me there's a liability that's incurred there, because even if you just follow the VAERS data, and you see the recorded cases, which are said to be anywhere from 1 to 10% of actual cases. We're over 4,000 deaths, and yet there's a constant narrative that this injection is safe. And including on that, there's over 190,000 injuries reported from this injection. What's your thought on the media's involvement and liability in this?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a huge free speech proponent, but you got to understand something. There's a difference between free speech and paying someone to lie, okay? We've got all sorts of documentation on Gates Foundation, on Alphabet, on all these different groups that are making money off of this or that are using their money to influence. So the Gates Foundation gives all sorts of money to all sorts of media groups. They and the organizations that they own buy advertising. There's no question that that happens. They're influencing the media. The media knows that they're not supposed to talk about this because if they do, they'll make the big pharma mad and big pharma will stop paying for all this stuff. Well, you know, here's the problem. The media is now putting themselves into a position where they're taking money to mislead the American public against in a way that's pretty clearly in violation of the law. I mean, there are lots of requirements for informed consent here, and they're working hard with the people who are standing to benefit most from this to obfuscate and to hide the dangers of what's happening. Now, it would be one thing if the media was doing this, you know, with absolutely no knowledge, but please, at this point, don't even try and suggest to me that the press doesn't know that there's an issue here. they're suppressing this because the people that are funding them are telling them to suppress this. And so I do think that we, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm watching. I've got a list. I only have X number of hours in a day, but I've got a nice team of people that I've got working on the media aspect of this. And I will tell you that there may be some major lawsuits against the media for covering this up coming up. I mean, they've outright lied in their reporting. There's some groups worse than others. And it appears that they've colluded with people to cover up the danger of this. And I think we're going to be testing this in court with some major, major actions. Like I said, we've got a team of lawyers working on that right now. I guess we'll see whether they want to keep rolling the dice with it.
So I want to loop back to a question I asked earlier, but this just to put it in a little different context, and that's this line between civil and criminal proceedings. I understand you're not a criminal attorney, but what I'd like to kind of understand a little bit, and hopefully you can shed some light on, is if you're doing a civil case, as you're doing, does that have influence on criminal cases in a positive or negative light?
Well, we're certainly going to be developing a record of evidence that could and should be used in criminal cases. I mean, you know, the stuff that we submitted right now is, in my mind, more than enough to start a criminal investigation, and it should happen. Now, whether or not it does, I don't know. I mean, we would need to find a prosecutor or an attorney general in some state or in the federal government that actually has the courage to investigate it. And by the way, I'll make this announcement right now. If you're able to get any attorney general in this country or, you know, any official that wants to investigate this, I will make myself available to assist them and to provide them whatever information we can to facilitate that. So you just got to find an AG that's got a spine. If you've got one, let me know. I'm not hard to find. A little hard to get a hold of, but not hard to find. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, well, that's it. I mean, if we can find someone that's got the courage to do it, I'm willing to help them. When I started out, it was just me and Bob, my other attorney friend, and we're both solos. Neither of us, you know, have a team or anything. You know, we're now at a point where I do. I've got teams. I've got people. I've got groups. So, you know, thank God. By the grace of God, we do, and I'm sure that's going to make someone's head explode, but yeah, God, family, country. I mean, we'll find a way to help. If we can find an AG that's got courage, hey, we've got everything that you need. You certainly have the capacity to start a criminal investigation. I'd suggest you do.
As you do this work and you're moving forward, and of course, one of the other big voices in this time has been Lynn Wood on other topics. He's pursued the media. He's pursued the election issue. There aren't that many attorneys out here that have come forward and come to the front, I should say, to really fight for the things that you're fighting for. Are you finding as you do that you're hearing from more attorneys that are wanting to join in on this fight, that the courage that you're taking is empowering others?
It's improving. It's improving. When I started, I couldn't even find another attorney that would take our call on it. Now, yeah, we've got attorneys that are joining us, people who are finding their voice, people who are courageous enough to stand up. And, you know, make no mistake, it's still a very small minority of attorneys, and they're still in for, you know, a real beating. But there are true patriot attorneys around the country that are fighting this and that are joining us and, you know, doing their part in this. And some of them are doing an amazing job. And, you know, I'm busy 23 hours a day. But, I mean, to whatever extent that I can help anybody in this fight, I'm trying to do it. You know, I view this as, you know, something that if God's given me the opportunity, then he's certainly given me the responsibility. And, you know, whatever I can do to help, I'm happy to do it. So, yeah, we're getting there.
And so I'm going to follow on that with another question, which is, why do you think that is? Why is it so difficult for, especially in the rule of law? I can understand the confusion that some people have down on the ground, though they shouldn't. But when we're talking about rule of law, it seems to be very clear what's constitutional and what is not. And maybe I'm being a bit naive, but how would an attorney allow this to go and not have the courage you do to stand up and say something?
So, you know, it's interesting. You write a document like that TRO, and, you know, let me tell you what that is. That TRO is 80 pages, and, yeah, anybody who writes 80 pages, that's a lot of pages. But let me tell you what, that was not a Tom Renz only job. I didn't sit down, write that, and call it a day. I got a team of attorneys that helped me, and they are brilliant. They're patriots. They're God, family, country people. I am so honored to work with them. Most of them are a lot smarter than me, so that's a wonderful thing also. It makes me look good. I also had Simone Gold was instrumental in this. And just incredible experts from around the world. I mean, we have some of the most brilliant, brilliant people I have ever spoken to in my life that were involved with this. So you got to understand that when you say, why aren't there more attorneys doing this? The first obstacle is the complexity. It's one thing for me to say there's no emergency and this is a violation of due process. As an attorney, I should be able to argue that. But it's another thing entirely for me to say there's no emergency. This vaccine's not safe. And let me show you why. And now let me show you what laws are broken because they're putting it out when it's unsafe. That is a super, super complicated thing. And it's not something that's easy. And it is a huge obstacle for any small or solo practitioner or even a small firm to get into. Now, it's gotten easier. And I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing more patriots step up is we've started to develop enough case law and enough stuff that people can actually start to get their heads around it. But, you know, when I started on this, I mean, oh my God, you know, the first case I filed was like 700 pages. And, I mean, trying to pull that kind of data together, we didn't have doctors backing us. We didn't have, I mean, we had a few experts that were helping us that we were able to convince along the way. You know, some real patriots like Doug Frank, God bless him. You know, the same Doug Frank who's working on the election stuff. That guy's into everything. But, you know, we had a few experts that were helping us, but it was tough. You know, you fast forward and now, you know, what we're being able to present is so much better and so much stronger because we've developed so much and it's taken, I've been around the clock for a year on it, over a year. It's just taken that much time and effort to do it, to make it where people can hop in and say, yeah, look at this, cite this, cite that. So that is probably one of the biggest obstacles that's keeping people who are patriotic, but, you know, recognize how hard this fight is in the courts, you know, from jumping in. The other thing that we're seeing is there's a lot of big firms that have the capacity to do this, but a lot of them have basically been told, if you ever want another government contract, don't touch this. And, you know, there's a lot of cowards out there that are, you know, they're in it for nothing but the money and they don't care. And so, you know, those people are not people I have any use for. And, you know, I just want nothing to do with them. But, you know, I do understand for the other group, you know, it's not an easy topic to come in on.
So what's ahead for you now in the coming weeks and months ahead with this filing?
Well, we've asked for a TRO, which is normally, it's an extraordinary thing. It's a tough thing to get, but we feel strongly about it. The court's going to look at this and they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to hear it immediately as a TRO, or they're going to convert it to a preliminary injunction hearing. The timing will depend on how they decide to do it. And we don't, you know, we've submitted our document, but we don't really have anything more that we can say about it at this point until we hear back from the court, which I expect will be fairly quickly. Once that's done, you know, we'll get scheduled either the preliminary injunction hearing or the TRO hearing, and we'll see what happens there. At the same time, we're working on the complaint for the case. This was a critical issue. We felt it had to be in TRO format, and we didn't have time to get the complaint done. So we're working on the accompanying complaint as we speak. I will tell you that as comprehensive as this TRO is, the complaint will include substantially more information. There's a lot of other stuff that we need to bring in. So, you know, keep your eyes open. That'll actually be a pretty important document. Then we'll see what happens. I mean, the TRO, if we're lucky, they will say, okay, we're going to grant the TRO, and if they do, then that means that we may have an additional preliminary injunction hearing, or they may grant it. I don't know. We'll have to see how they do this. But hopefully they will block any further authorization for anyone under 16 for the duration of the case. And then we'll focus on the case, which, like I said, will hit the whole vaccine in a much more robust way, because this entire thing has been done illegally, in my opinion. So we're going to be challenging this whole thing. We've let the fox guard the hen house for too long. And if we're lucky, you know, we'll see this whole thing overturned, and we'll actually, you know, make them go through the proper testing and see whether these things can get approved after going through true FDA testing, as every other vaccine known to man was supposed to do.
Is there a way that patriots can follow your work or even support your work? Do you have anything set up for that?
Well, I hope that they will. Because we do need the money, but we also really want people. It's so important that you follow this and get the word out. I've got three major organizations I'm working with. Obviously, this case is huge, and it's being done with America's Frontline Doctors. And so you can follow everything about it there. I'm also working very closely with another organization called Make Americans Free Again. Wonderful organization. I encourage you to get active and involved in both of them, Frontline Doctors and Make Americans Free Again. If you live in Ohio, the original group we started is Ohio Stands Up. And that was my original plaintiffs, and they've been helping me ever since. They are true patriots, God-fearing good people. I'm so grateful to know them. And you can follow me on all three. You can also follow me at rens-law.com. I don't actually do a whole lot with I've got a Facebook page. I don't really do anything with it. I figure I don't know if they've thrown me off of Facebook yet or not. I mean, they may have. I really don't care. Any company that does business like that, if they want to throw me off, go ahead. Please follow us, see what's going on, learn about this. Please, please, please share the information. The more people know, the more lives we can save. We need to save lives. And by the way, one other topic that's considered conspiracy, but I think is worth noting. We mentioned in there that according to Pfizer, okay, and I'm going to be careful how I say this, but according to Pfizer, if during the trial, in the reference Pfizer document, okay, we've got a Pfizer document talking about their trial. If you are pregnant and you were near or around or in contact with someone who received the study intervention, which means you received the vaccine at around the time of conception, it was a reportable safety event. Our elected officials, and I'm doing this in the courts, but our elected officials could do it faster. They need to subpoena everything in the world related to this. And we need to know whether or not skin-to-skin contact or breathing is a issue for people who've taken this virus. I'm getting reports all over the country of little kids, little girls, who are passing blood clots way before they're old enough to be doing that. I'm getting reports of all sorts of issues, people being around vaccinated people. I don't know, and there is no, let me be clear, there is no proof that this is, that the shedding and stuff like that is the cause, but there's enough stuff that I'm hearing that I'm concerned about it, and we have the document from Pfizer. Pfizer said that's a reportable safety event. So I urge you to ask that question of your elected officials and tell them they need a real investigation, not some fake garbage investigation. They need full discovery on this. They need to encourage it, because if this is something, if these vaccines are in any way, shape, or form potentially transmissible or shedding some dangerous whatever through the air or through skin-to-skin contact, the people have a right to know that. I don't know if it's happening, but we need to get to the bottom of that and make sure that people are being safe, because this is about protecting people. They told us we had to wear a mask for a year because it would save lives, even though they were lying about it. Well, how about this?
Tom, we always close with a prayer. I'd like to close with a prayer today.
Thank you. I love that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've once again had another patriot come and speak truth to open our eyes to the level of deceit that we're facing, the level of treachery that sits before us. And we are blessed by those truth tellers and those with courage to stand up and are fighting for the people, your children, Lord. We ask that you bless Tom and all that he's doing and his team, to continue to give them the strength and the resources needed to fight this fight, to help that knowledge that they're sharing awaken the many people, to awaken hearts, awaken them from the darkness, to guide them to the truth, to stand up and to be bold, to have the courage to stand up against this evil and to be heard. So Lord, we are blessed again with all the people you bring to this fight, to give them that strength to stand in spite of a relentless evil that wants to crush them down. Please continue to guide them and protect them. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for having the courage to speak out on this and for having the courage to actually pray on air. God, I love that. Thank you.
You're most welcome. We're really honored to have you here today, Tom. And just want to thank you so much for what you're doing. Patriots, you just need to know that there's a lot of patriots out here that are not only inspired by this, but it gives them motivation to fight harder. So whatever we can continue to do to support your effort, we will. And just keep in the fight, and God bless you for all you're doing.
I'll tell you something. If you're sitting in my seat and you don't see the hand of God in this, you're not looking. I'm not an important guy, but I'm doing important things. And the only reason that happens is because God's blessed me to do that. So send prayers. We need those more than anything else. And I'm firmly of the belief that the reason we've had the success that we've had up till now, and the reason that we're in this fight, is because we've had the backing of God. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And God bless for all you're doing, Tom. Have a very blessed day.
You too. Thank you, sir.
So Patriots, that was Attorney Thomas Renz, who he says he's a nobody. He's not a nobody anymore. He is a patriot, and he's doing God's work in trying to save children and save youth and keep this bioweapon out of people's bodies. This is a very, very difficult time, we all know, and it is a time that we have to be bold, we have to be relentless in our push for truth, and we have to do everything we can to keep people informed and open their eyes. And you're not going to be met with hugs. Just so I say this, you're not going to be met with cheesecake and coffee. Well, you actually will be met with a donut if you get the injection. You can go down to Krispy Kreme and get a donut for free. And I think you can get a six-pack of beer from Budweiser. So if you want to change your DNA, just know that you're going to get a free donut for a year. That should be an incentive right there. We are seriously dealing with a problem, and the thing is that we are dealing with a problem at a much deeper level, and that is that those that have backed this, and Tom talked about this in the interview, but I'm going to be a little more ruthless about it. Those that back this in our government only get one shot at coming to redeem themselves, and that's how I see this. They get off their butt and start calling for and getting... confessing what they've done. They get off their butt and start telling the public the truth. But accountability is coming and justice is coming one way or another. We're not playing anymore. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to sterilize our children. They're trying to prevent the population from breeding, from procreating. there is no definition for that type of crime. Crime against humanity does need a new definition. Sadly, I don't think the public is going to wake up until they start to see people hanging from gallows across this nation for the crimes they've done. And as brutal as that sounds, maybe that's where we need to go. The fact of the matter is that people need to understand, in particular, scientists, doctors, lawyers that have sat on their butt, they've been sold out, bought off. The criminal cabal is one thing. You deal with them. They don't deserve to be on this earth. They need an introduction to God. The rest of them need to be facing some serious consequences for this. And that's just the way it is. We are dealing with a group of people that's just Nazis reincarnate. And the other part that we need to be very cognizant of, and this is going to be a very deep part of accomplishing healing in our nation, and it's going to be requiring us to walk a very unique path. And that is every person out here that's standing by this vax passport, COVID passport nonsense. They are embracing Nazism. They are embracing totalitarian division and control. This nation is a nation divided, not a nation united. And any politician, including President Trump, tries to call for unity can stuff it right now. Unity is not going to come until we get accountability. I do not report or worship to Trump. I don't report or worship to any politician. I report and worship to God through Christ, period. And Christ was not calling for division and unity. He was calling for healing. I'm sorry, not calling for division and separatism. He was calling for unity and embracing each other with love. This division that people are embracing is a rejection of God and the very principles of Christianity. It is a rejection of God and the very principles of what this Constitution and this Republic was built upon. So this is the path that I see that we're going to have to walk. It is not going to be easy, including me, because I'm going to speak it and I'm going to even grit my teeth when I do it. But I also know that in prayer and in being truthful and honest to what God would want, this is what I see and feel has to happen. As this passes, we are going to have to be that light to guide people to God. But here's that firm line. You have to hold that line of accountability for people to be able to repent, and then we can begin with the process of forgiveness. But forgiveness does not mean you bring them to your dinner table. Forgiveness is to release that weight and burden on you to God, to have them face God and deal with that accountability, and from there healing can begin. Wherever that takes us, it takes us. But we do not have a nation united, and we will never have a nation united until these people who took this injection, who have been fanning the flames of division, who now think that they're elite and better and have worshipped their God, which is now Lucifer, and whether they realize it or not, that is exactly what they've done. Until they do that, there can be no healing in this nation. We are the remnant. We have an obligation to faith, to the sacrifices that were made for us by the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. We have a line to hold. And as much as that line is loving, there is accountability for them to be reaccepted both as brothers and sisters of Christ, and in their own way to be reaccepted on their pathway to heaven. They have turned their back on their nation. They have turned their back on their brethren in this country. They have turned their back on Christ. Every single one that took the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's a bioweapon. I don't care if they want to claim deception. They should have had it in their heart to know to turn to God first. That's how I see the path ahead. It means that we are firm. It means that we are expecting an accountability, that we demand accountability, and we demand it from everybody, because through accountability we acquire justice. And when we hold that line of accountability and do not waver, we are strong and we are an unbendable wall. And whatever that cost is, that is the conviction we have to stand on, because that is the line that we stand in front of God, with God, in this war. Love is not free. And we don't get a free pass in this world just because Christ was nailed and hammered to the cross. There's an accountability of all things. Those that perpetrated the crime, that's an accountability that only God can deliver. Those that participated in the crime, which includes taking the injection, that begins with accountability and an admittance to what they did, owning that mistake and putting themselves on their knees before God to beg for forgiveness. That's when healing begins. And all I'll say in closing here is to remember that we have many patriots out here fighting. Attorney Tom Renz is one of those. He calls himself a nobody. He's a humble man. Spread his name, spread his websites, get people to follow him, pay attention to his work. He needs support and he needs prayers. So please keep him in his prayers. Tonight in the Fishers of Men, we're going to give some prayers out to a lot of these frontline fighters right now, and we need to. That's where we can have great strength and great power. Prayers to speak to God, to let God know that we're here. And we ourselves, patriots, we have to humble ourselves before God to let God know that we are here, we're humbled, and to ask God for the forgiveness of these fools out here that have turned their back on him. I have great empathy for people that are deceived. I have little empathy for people that are willfully ignorant. So, I hope you enjoyed the interview tonight. It was a powerful interview by a new and emerging patriot. We need more of him. And the way they're going to get more is for us to continue to show them our strength in backing them. And that is how we fight best. So keep your prayers up. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. It's not just you're a patriot anymore. If you've been following here, you know that you're more than that. You know that you're a warrior of Christ, that you're in God's army, and this is the Lord's war. That means a dedication and a commitment like nothing you've ever done. That means having clear in your head what you're living for and knowing very well that you're living for something so great that you're willing to die for it. That's the power of being, of walking that path with God. We worship God. We love our country, but we worship God. And with that, we will defend this land. We will stand in this land. We will occupy this land in God's name, in Christ's holy name. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And in the end, we will be right there. When God wins, we will share that victory as he would want us to share it with him. So have a blessed night. I'll see you shortly in the next hour and a half for the next show, either then or the next time. God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants, No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.